week, we had to address the question that the Rishonim raised within the sugya we call Riba B'Shiurim. So Riba B'Shiurim means when Torah permits me to do an action, but I only need a certain amount. I only need a certain minimum amount, and I want to know, can I go ahead if I'm doing the same action and add more, so to speak, to the pot? So we found different areas of halacha, seems to be different answers to that question. When it came to Bishul on Shabbos for the purposes of Pikuach Nefesh, obviously the only time when one would be permitted to cook on Shabbos would be for Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara seemed to tell us in two places that that would be a problem to Rimaru Bishurim. The Gemara said in Masechas Chulin that even after the fact that a person cooked a big pot of soup for a chola, thought the chola would need a lot, and then the chola didn't need all that much, so you're not permitted to partake of that soup on Shabbos. Gezeira Shabbayar Bishviloi. We're afraid you may come next time to add on more soup to the pot, thereby indicating obviously adding on more soup was a problem. Then we had a Gemara in Maseches Menachot that spoke about if a person only needs two figs and he wants to cut off a branch that has three figs, so it's out for the Gemara. That would also be a problem. So we have Gemaras in the Sugyas of Hilchos Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh Sugyas that sound like Riba B'Shiurim is an outright problem. Whereas we have a sugya in Maseches Beitzah and Maseches Berachot about cooking on Yom Tov, not Pikuach Nefesh, but Echol Nefesh, where the Gemara says that it's perfectly okay, that you can add on as much soup as you want to the pot, as long as it's the same pot. If you want to start cooking other pots, that's a problem, but if it's within the same pot, even though you need only one bowl, that's perfectly okay. So how do you resolve that difference between Pikuach Nefesh on the one hand, which is also, and Echol Nefesh on the other hand, which is Mutter? So at the end of the Shir on Friday, we quoted the sheet of the Ri and the Rashba supported, that conceptually, there's not really that much of a difference. That means, Mi'alim Ikra Din, they're really the same. Riba B'Shiurim should actually be mutter all the time. Min HaTorah, it really should be mutter. Ella, Midir Rabbanan, the Chacham didn't like it. That doesn't look right. Bottom line is, you only need this amount, so what are you cooking more for? So Midir Rabbanan, we really should have instituted an Issa Midir Rabbanan. So here, in the realm of Yisurim Midir Rabbanan, Chazal drew a distinction between Shabbos versus Yom Tov. Shabbos is much more chomer, Skila. The ramifications for cooking on Shabbos incorrectly are much more serious. Whereas on Yom Tov, it's only a lav anyway. Even if you goof and you do something unnecessary on Yom Tov, the worst it's going to be is a lav. So therefore the Rashba, the Ri said, that vis-a-vis this Issa de Rabbanan, called Riba B'Shiurim, we should differentiate between Shabbos and Yom Tov. But Min HaTorah, it's all the same. Min HaTorah, it's the Mutter, it's also. And Min HaTorah, it's really all Mutter. That was the Rashba's approach. So now, I think we left off, we're about to read the Ran, if I'm not mistaken. I think we're about to get to the second approach to the Rishonim, how to solve this problem. If you take a look in the back on the first page. So it's a long Ran, but it's about halfway through the Ran. The first one line is the Kavan. Just about halfway through the Kavan. So the end of the very end of the line, mechlal, the last word in that line, the first one line is the kevan, the last word is mechlal. So mechlal, the sefer lays out the riba b'shira b'shabbos l'mitzvah elam b'drabbanan. It was clear from this past presentation of the Ri and the Rashba that the whole issur riba b'shira is all b'drabbanan. For tamahani aleiv, says the Ran, I'm wondering whether that's correct. It doesn't seem that way from the Gemara. The imkain, my kamevayel on hasam b'menachos. Pshita de shalosh by sinan, de riba bishurim lo mitzah elamid rabbanan, riba betzira mitzah midaraisa. So comes around and brings back to life that sugya from Maseches Menachos we spent a lot of time with on last week. The person who needs figs, he has to have two figs. Doctor prescribed two figs for the chole, and he has two options: either cut two different stems, two different branches, each one with one fig, so thereby he'll only have the right amount of figs. Or maybe we should tell him, cut off one branch, a different tree, cut off one branch, which happens to have three figs on it. So even though you're minimizing the cutting actions, you're ending up with unnecessary figs. What do you do? So the Gemara presented two sides to the Shaila. The Gemara says, is it better that we should, in effect, end up cutting a superfluous fig? Or is it better we should try as much as we can to minimize the amount of actions of harvesting, of cutting that you're actually doing? So the Gemara was pilking and menachos back and forth and back and forth. Which is better? Which is worse? So it comes around and says, stop, 1 second. What kind of suffix is that? If you hold that Riba B'Shiurim min HaTorah is mutter, so if you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, am I allowed to cut off that one branch which has 100 figs on it? The answer is yes. I, the doctor, prescribed to. So what? It's Riba B'Shiurim. It's the same Isa. So if the Rashba and the Ri are really correct, that the whole institution of Riba B'Shiurim is all a chumra midrabanan, but min HaTorah, it's at the Gomor, So that's a very, very strange question the Gemara is asking. Is it better to make two cuts, or is it better to make one cut with an extra fig? To make an extra cut would be an extra Issa D'Oraisa. So what kind of silly shayla is that? Should you do an Issa D'Oraisa, or should you do an Issa D'Rabbanan? Everybody knows you do a D'Rabbanan over a D'Oraisa. So the Ran says, from the Havamin of the Gemara, from the discussion, from the Pilpul of the Gemara, from the fact that the Gemara was taking seriousness, that maybe we should try whatever we can to minimize that extra fig, even if perhaps it means an extra cut, from the fact that the Gemara was willing to entertain that possibility, you see clear, says the Ran, that the Isser of Riyu B'Shirin is in fact Min HaTorah. How would the Rashba respond to that? Some of the Rashba would respond, that was the Havamin of the Gemara. And now when the Gemara concludes that, no, it's okay, it's better to cut the three figs, to make one cut, one branch with the three figs, rather than the extra cut, the reason why the Gemara concludes that way is specifically for that reason, that in Ochanami, that it's only also with the Rabbanan. So the Ran is bringing a raya from the fact that the Gemara is entertaining the possibility. It sounds like everything's deraisa on the table, and the Rashi would say, no, in the end of the day, it's not deraisa. So when all the dust settles, the Ran is convinced that the whole theory of the Rashi and the Ri is not correct, that the idea of Riba Bishurim is a potential problem in HaTorah. Once you say it's a potential problem in HaTorah, then we're back to the drawing board. Why should it be that on Yom Tov it's mutter? According to the Rashba and the Ri, that the whole institution of Riba B'Shirin was only prohibited mid the Rabbanon. At the Rabbanon, you can make, you know, arbitrary distinctions, so to speak. Yom Tov is more lenient, Shabbos is more chamor. But if you hold that Riba B'Shirin is a real problem in HaTorah for Pikuach Nefesh, so then back to square one, why isn't it a problem in HaTorah? For Ochel Nefesh, conceptually, now we need a real conceptual answer. It's not enough just to hide behind the Rai says the Rabbanan, more Cham or less Cham. No, says the Rai. We need a fundamental distinction between the permissibility of Ochel Nefesh in contrast to the permissibility of Pikuach Nefesh. What is it about Ochel Nefesh and what is it about Pikuach Nefesh that leads us to this difference that Riba B'Shirin is Asur for Pikuach Nefesh, yet it's Mutter for Ochel Nefesh? So comes around and says, he's going to give you the punchline. Lefikach, he goes down about a line or two. The first word in the line is uktzim. Lefikach nearly borer, says the Ran. Tevadai ribuye shira b'Shabbos b'deraisa mitzar. He says that for sure, ribu b'shira on Shabbos, to cut, even though it's the same action, but to cut a branch knowing that you're cutting extra figs with that one cut, or to put extra soup into the pot knowing that you don't need the soup for the cholah, would be an outright Issa D'Oraisa. V'afilu hachi lo dami ribu b'shira b'yamtif l'ribu b'shira b'shabbos. And still, it's not the same as adding on soup for yamtif. Why? Sh'ashabbos d'chuyah hi eitzel chola v'lo hutra. So the Ran introduces to us two very, very important concepts. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about these concepts in the sugya. One is called d'chuyah and one is called hutra. What in the world do those terms mean? So the Ran is paraphrasing a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Yuma. The Gemara of Maseches Yuma raises a very, very lumdish conceptual question about how do you understand the following halacha. On the one hand, you're not allowed to bring karbanos in the state of tumah. The person is tameh, kohen is tameh. You're not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash to bring karbanos when you're tameh. On the other hand, the Torah says that if you have to bring a korban tzibur, so a korban tzibur is deiche tumah. Korban Pesach is deiche tumah. Korban tamid is deiche tumah. Musav is deiche tumah. That's the famous kasha of all the mefarshim. Why was there a little jump ahead a little bit? Why was there a need for the nes of Chanukah? The whole need of the nes of Chanukah is the oil was tamei. Lighting the menorah has the status of a korban tzibur. It's a mitzvah that the tzibur does. Even if they wouldn't have found oil that was tahor, the halacha would have been they could have lit the oil that's tamei anyway, because the mitzvah of korban tzibur overrides tumah. So what was the whole purpose of the Nes of Chanukah? Again, we're not undermining the celebration of Chanukah, we're just raising a very lumdish question, why the need for the Nes of Chanukah? So there's a lot of lumdish terus into that kasha also. But basically, the halacha is that a korban tzibur overrides tumah. So Gemara raises a lumdish shayla, what's the nature of that din that korban tzibur overrides tumah? We can understand that in one of two ways. Ish pshat, what we call, it's dechuya. Dechuya means there really is an Isser to bring Karbanos B'Tumah. You're not really supposed to go into the Beis Hamikdash B'Tumah. What you're doing is an Aveira. It's an Isser. It's an Isser that the Torah says, listen, it's very, very important not to go into the Beis Hamikdash in the state of Tumah, not to bring Karbanos B'Tumah. But it's more important that the Karban Tumah should be brought, that the Karban Pesach, Karban Musa should be brought. So now the Torah is telling us in the hierarchy of halacha, A is more important than B. We're not saying that what you're doing is not an aveir. It's an aveir that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in effect telling you to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying X is deicha Y. X pushes off Y. Not that Y is mutter. Y remains be'isuro. It's just that the Torah says you have to do it anyway. Now, don't misunderstand that to me, and I have to clap al chayt for going into the basic mikdash. But the Torah said to do it. The Torah told me to do an aveir. That's basically what it, that's what the lomdus is. The Torah said X is more important than Y, so go ahead and do the aveir. Or maybe you can understand, no. When you have a situation of a korban tzibor, the rules of tumah don't apply. The rules of, I'm not tumah anymore. The Torah says, tumah doesn't exist. It's kamanda leisa. In the context of a korban tzibor, tumah doesn't exist. That's what's called, tumah is chutra b'tzibor. It mamish says, it's hetagamer. I'm not tumah, I'm doing an aveir, whatever. The Torah said that the issue of tumah doesn't apply under these circumstances. Sounds like a very, very lomdish difference. Man of kamina. It's all semantics. Man of kamina. At the end of the day, you have to do it. At the end of the day, you don't have to feel bad about doing it. So what's the difference? So the question is, no, it's a big difference. How much do I have to avoid doing it? If you hold that tumah is dechuyah b'tzibor, then I have to try to bend over backwards not to do it. If I can somehow find another kohen quickly to do the avodah, I have no right to do it. Because I'm basically doing an aveira. I'm doing an aveira that... We're never throwing our hands up and saying, we have to do this aveira. But if you don't have to, so don't do it. If you hold the tumah, it's hutra b'tzibor, I don't have to avoid doing it. What I'm doing is okay. It's as if I'm Torah. There's no issue whatsoever to talk about. So the Gemara introduces these two principles of chuyah and hutra. And even though the Gemara only talks about these two principles two places in Shas, the sugi about tumah dechuyah b'tzibor, another place, but the Rishonim borrow these principles to just about every other possible case where there's a clash, there's a conflict between two different mitzvahs. So let's say, for example, there's a din called asei docha lo sasei. A mitzvah say sometimes can override a lo sasei. Well, let's say there's a halacha that a milah on the eighth day is decha Shabbos. So every time you have these kinds of clashes in halacha where something should have been asur, and now the Torah says to do it anyway, you could plug in the same chakira. Is it dechuyah or is it hutra? So the Ra now plugs in this chakira into the halacha of pikuach nefesh. The Torah says that on the one hand there's an issur malach on Shabbos, and all of a sudden we know that you're allowed to drive to the hospital. If you have to drive, you drive to the hospital for the chodesh yesh b'sakana. How do you understand that halacha? What's going on when pikuach nefesh is pushing off Shabbos? You can understand that in one of two ways. Either you can understand that it's dechuyah. Means what you are doing is you're involving yourself, you're engaging in an act of Chil Shabbos. You're Mamshim B'chal Shabbos. But the Torah says you have to do that kind of Chil Shabbos. Again, you don't have to clap Achei for it. We're not going to give you skila for it. We're going to encourage you to do it, but you should just know that the act that you're doing is an act called Chil Shabbos. It's Techuyah. It's still Shabbos. It's Techuyah. Or perhaps I could say no, that Pikuach Nefesh is not Techuyah. Pikuach Nefesh is Chutra. Chutra means it's not Shabbos today. When you have a Cholish Yesh Pesachon in front of you, today is Tuesday. For everybody else it's Shabbat, for you it's Tuesday. For L'gabit, Tzorchi, Achol, whatever is necessary to take care of the Chayla, it doesn't have the status of Shabbos today. Now, without getting into the details of that Nafka Mina, if you want to borrow and apply that principle from Masechus Yuma, that's going to have a significant Nafka Mina Halacha. Because remember, the Gemara said in Yuma that the difference between Dechuyah and Hutra expresses itself how much you have to avoid what you're doing. If you hold that pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is only dechuyah, it's basically Shabbos, and you're basically involved in an act of chil Shabbos. But the Torah says nebuch, what can you do? You know, life is more important than the chil Shabbos right now. So then you have to ask yourself a million times: can I avoid it? Is it necessary? Are there ways perhaps not to be bechal Shabbos? I have to ask a lot of very, very hard pointed questions because after all, every act that I'm doing is an act of chil Shabbos. If you hold that pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is better than dechuyah, it's hutra. That would be almost a green light. I didn't say green light, do everything, but that would be the ramifications of that statement would be significantly more lenient. I don't have to bend over backwards, not to drive myself crazy. It's Utra, it's Tuesday. On Tuesday, you're allowed to do malacha. It's not Shabbos today, vis-a-vis the chayla. So comes around and says, he thinks that it's this nekuda, that pikuach nefesh is in fact dechuyah, at least the Ran thinks it's dechuyah, we'll see, not everyone agrees, but the Ran thinks that pikuach nefesh and Shabbos is dechuyah, that's what is ultimately responsible for this distinction between Shabbos versus Yom Tov. So we'll go back to the Ran again. Shabbos dechuyah hi eitzel chola v'lo hutra. So says the Ran, when you go ahead and put that pot of soup onto the fire,
What you're doing, you're mamash b'chal Shabbos. It's Shabbos afternoon. There's a chaylul afanein, and the doctor prescribed a bowl of soup. When you're putting that pot of soup in the fire, you're mamash b'chal Shabbos. Okay. We don't mean that in a bad way. We don't mean we're going to give you a skillet for it. We don't mean we're going to scribble you. No, what you're doing is you're supposed to do what you're doing, but you're engaged in an act of chilul Shabbos that the Torah says we are going to override with something more significant called pikuach nefesh. But don't forget, says the Ran, what you're doing is called an act of chilul Shabbos. My nef kabino. Ulafikach, says the Ran. Kol shia ikar malacha osar, af tosefto kamohu, umitza midaraisa. So he says that if the ikar malacha is an act of Chilul Shabbos, so then the Tosefes, whatever is added on, that's not necessary, is also called Chilul Shabbos. How could you even dream of putting extra soup onto the fire, Minat Torah, if what you're doing is an act of Chilul Shabbos? So your original putting the pot on the fire is called an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's just that Nebuch, we let you do it, because there's a Chola, but anything that you do above and beyond the call of duty, of course it's Chilul Shabbos. If the Ikar is Chilul Shabbos, the Tosefes, of course it's Chilul Shabbos. But here's where Yom Tov and Oichal Nefesh part ways from Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. Aval Yom Tov, she'Oichal Nefesh Hutar Bo, says the Ran, when you cook on Yom Tov, right? Yom Tov morning, you wake up, you start cooking yourself a pot of chicken soup. So what's the lumdus of cooking on Yom Tov? Is the lumdus of cooking on Yom Tov, oh, yo, yo, it's a terrible act of chilul Yom Tov, what a horrible thing that you're doing, but nevach, lunch is doicha. That's pshat. So the Ran says, that's a litzanus, that's a joke. That's not what the cooking on Yom Tov is. Cooking on Yom Tov is heter gomor. Says the Ran, I proved to you that it's heter gomor. The afilu efshem erev Yom Tov shari. Even if you could have cooked yesterday, it's still mutter to cook on Yom Tov. Now, I don't know whether I would bring that as an absolute raya brura, because not everyone agrees to that statement. We'll get to that maybe a little bit later on. But the Ran, leave out the raya for a second. The Ran is pretty convincing that cooking on Yom Tov is mamash mutter. What I'm doing is het gamor. Kol shu marber la'ikar, u'bevad shei b'terech echa tosefto kamalu. So comes the Ran and says that since the initial putting of the pot onto the fire is a davar hamutter, what I am engaged in is an action that's permissible, how could you split hairs and say, you're doing an action that's permissible, but the extra soup on the top of the pot is also. I'm doing an action that's mutter. I'm doing a maisa which is het degomer. It's like cooking on Tuesday. It's like cooking on Erev Yom Tov. It's het degomer to cook on Yom Tov. How could an action that's mutter schlep with it something else, and all of a sudden something else becomes also? So the Ran is focusing on a very, very lum de shavort here. When do we say Reb Shimon is mutter? When do we say that's also? There's a distinction min haTorah. When the original action is called a maisa hamutter, so then, if it's mutter, it's mutter. So then whatever's in the pot gets a free ride. If the action that I'm doing is an action that's usur, so whatever's left in the pot is tacha usur. So it comes around and says, that's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is dechuya, whereas cooking on Yom Tov is b'teres hutra. Then, yeah.
To go to the Ran, you could cook for a goy on Shabbos.
Cooking for a goy, yeah.
You cook, right? Normally you wouldn't be allowed to invite a goy over to your house on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, I'm sorry.
On Yom Tov, I'm sorry.
Right? So, but here, if it's Yom Tov is Hutra, I can add more.
You mean if it's in the same pot? Right. The Rishonim explained that when the Gemara says you're not allowed to cook for a goy on Yom Tov, that means I'm not allowed to cook a separate pot for a goy. So the gezeira not to invite the goy on Yom Tov is I'm afraid I may make him a separate cup of tea, I may make him cook him up a special piece of chicken for himself. But if it's Bereba Shira, that's what they're machinam. Then the Ran goes one step further. So the Ran just said that his chiddush is dependent so far on two points being true. He said, first of all, we have to have a certain lumdus about pikuach nefesh. That pikuach nefesh is dechuya. If that's not true, if it's really chutra, then the whole pshat's going to fall by the wayside. So premise number one is pikuach nefesh is dechuya. Premise number two is that oichal nefesh and yom tov is chutra. Then the Ran goes even one step further. The Ran says, I'm going to tell you that yom tov is so radically different from pikuach nefesh. Ve'od, shenir lehem lechachamim, shekeban she'amra Torah, acha she'er ochal lechal nefesh, says the Ran, cooking on Yom Tov is even better than Hutra. Cooking on Yom Tov, it's inconceivable, it's absurd to think that when the Torah said, cook on Yom Tov, but little note, a little footnote on the bottom. But by the way, just make sure you don't put an extra molecule of water into the pot, because that'll be cooking shalot tzarech. It is intuitively obvious, as the Ran, when the Torah gave you a head to the cook on Yom Tov, the Torah wasn't expecting you to sit and measure and count out exactly how many bowls of soup you need. So It's interesting. The Ran is coming to the same conclusion. Either the Ran is saying it's based on pure lobdus, that there's no way in the world you should have to count out the amount of soup in the pot on Yom Div. Either it's based on the lomdus of Eichel Nefesh being Hutra, or he says it's based on just common sense. That's inconceivable the Torah would have asked such a thing. No matter how you slice, you end up at the same point. That cooking on Yom Div is Heter Gomor, and therefore adding on to the, as long as it's the same pot, is also Heter Gomor.
This is like a step further than the Ran. But why isn't there like no cooking is not anything on Yom Div, and there's just like a Hachana problem of preparing for after Yom Div?
Okay, so Hachana is a detailed question in the Rabbanon, whether it's called Hachana, not called Hachana, only when it's recognizable as Hachana. Hachana works with its own rules, which are probably not going to pose much of a problem here. But on the pure level of Derais, that's what the Ran's really trying to explain. He's trying to explain why, fundamentally, on the level of Derais, that you can put more soup in the pot on Yom Tov, whereas you can't put more soup in the pot on Shabbos. So whereas the Ri and the Rashba said, Minat Torah, everything's Motor, it's just Gezeiros Midr Rabbanan, and more Machma Shabbos, less Machma Yom Tov. The Ran's saying, no, it's conceptually different, it's fundamentally different, it's based on Dechuya versus Hutra. So Bishum Hachi, Riba Bishura, then the Ran concludes, the second to last line, Bishum Hachi, Riba Bishura, Kol Hechad Lo Mafesh B'tich HaShari, about Bishabbos, Shia Iker Osar, and Shabbos with the Iker Maises Osar, after Sefto Kamo Midarai, so Lorit Alichos Eitzel Choy. That's the Ran's Yisai. But Lechor, we have to analyze this Ran now very, very carefully. The Ran is telling us that the fundamental difference between Chola on Shabbos versus food, Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tif, is the notion of the Chuyah versus Hutra, when the original Maisa remains a Maisa Veira, Ribishir is Asur, like Shabbos, and the original Maisa is a Maisa Mutter, then Ribishir is Mutter, like Yom Tov. Lechora, in order to understand this distinction, we have to take a few steps back and raise a question about the very nature of Ribishir. We know for a fact that Ribishir is Mutter and Yom Tov, no matter what the Lomdus is, the Ri, the Rashba, the Rashba, the Rashba, slice the Gemara, the Ferish, we do it all the time. Ribishir and Yom Tov is Mutter, but Atar, Mutter, but Rabban, Heter Gomor. One could raise a chakira as to what the nature of the het is all about. What is it conceptually that Rebbe Bashir is mutter? So one could understand it in one of two ways. One could argue, the reason why Rebbe Bashir is mutter is because I challenge you, point to me to the extra bowl of soup. I really only need 5 bowls of soup, and now I put up a big pot with 100 bowls of soup. So I say to you, okay, tell me which soup here in this pot is unnecessary. So I'm going to be unnecessary. That first bowl over there, the side of the pot, is unnecessary. Really? I'm going to eat that bowl today. How can you tell me that's unnecessary? Okay. It's the other, in the northeast corner of the pot. That's the unnecessary bowl. That's unnecessary? I just changed my mind. I'm not eating the southwest corner, I'm eating the northeast corner. So we say, okay, it's the soup all the way at the bottom of the pot. That's totally unnecessary. Really? I like to go down to the bottom and scoop out. There's no way to ever declare that any bowl is, quote unquote, unnecessary. It's mutter me to cook the 6 bowls. I had 6 people in the family. It's mutter me to cook the 6 bowls. I can even cook doubles. Some people like 2 bowls of soup. It's het gomer for me to cook 12 bowls of soup. There's nothing in this pot in those 12 bowls that you can say it also. The fact that I threw 24 bowls of soup into the same pot, I can never turn around and say that anything is also. Everything is called Eichel Nefesh. Anything could potentially be eaten. That's the heter of Eichel Nefesh. That's the heter of Rebbe Bishurin. Everything in there could potentially be used by heter. Is that the pshat in Rebbe Bishurin or no? The pshat in Rebbe Bishurin is much more lomdus than that, much more conceptual than that. Rebbe Bishurin is mutter because tell me the action that I'm doing that's also. Please explain to me the avera that I'm doing. The avera that you're doing is you're putting up a pot of soup on Yom Tov. That's a terrible avera. That's an avera. I want to eat the soup in an hour from now. What I'm doing is a maisa mutter. What you're telling me is that there's extra soup in there, but I'm still looking for a maisa. Torah says, Kamalechas avod lo sasu. The issue is a maisa bishul on Yom Tov, right? So show me, where's my maisa bishul? That's also. I'm doing a maisa bishul, that's mutter. Oh, if I go ahead and I put up a separate pot, that's not right. I don't need that separate pot. So that's called Kamalechas avod lo sasu, maybe. But Kol Zman, that it's in Chag Maisa, so we can't ask you for putting more soup in. It's the same maisa. And if the maisa is another mutter, then the remainder of what you're doing is mutter. So there are two different ways of looking at Rebbe Bishurin. Is Rebbe Bishurin a function of the fact that you can't point to the Davar Asar, that's why it's Mutter? Or is Rebbe Bishurin Mutter because the Maisa is labeled as a Maisa Mutter? It is clear which side the Ran learned. It is clear that the Ran learned that everything focuses around the Maisa. Okay, that's exactly what the Ran said. If the Maisa is Mutter, then Rebbe Bishurin is Mutter. If the Maisa is also, like the case of cooking on Shabbos, then Rebbe Bishurin is also. But if you hold that the head, the yisod of Rebbe Bishurin is, I can't point to any soup that's off limits. Why can't I apply that svara to the chayla and Shabbos also? The chayla needs a bowl of soup. There's no question the chayla needs a bowl of soup. So I put up a pot of soup with 100 bowls in there. Now we come start screaming at the guy, what are you doing? You're Michal Shabbos. So I say, really? Point to me the bowl that's Chil Shabbos, that northeast corner of the pot. Chil Shabbos. Oh, that was the pot I was going to feed the chayla. Southwest corner is Chil Shabbos. I changed my mind. That's the pot I'm going to feed the chayla. The north, top, or the same svar, if the svar of Reb Shurin is, you can't identify, you can't single out a part of the pot that's not being used properly, that same exact svar applies for Pikuach Nefesh. From the fact that the Rad is differentiating between Shabbos versus Yom Tov, it is clear that the Rad is focusing on the Maisa part of Reb Shurin. The reason why Reb Shurin is Mutter is because it's Bechada Maisa, and the Maisa has to be a Maisa Mutter. Is there any real difference lahalacha in terms of the lomdus of Reb Shurin besides the Rad and the Rashba? Is there any real difference whether Reb Shurin is focusing on chada maisa or whether it's focusing on I can't pinpoint what the issur is. So the chor is going to be a tremendous nafka min ladina. What would that locha be as follows? Let's talk for a moment about carrying on yontif. Let's take us out of the realm of cooking on yontif into the realm of carrying on yontif. How would Reb Shurin play out in terms of carrying on yontif? The following shalom. Person, he's got a little bit of a cold, so he needs to carry a pack of tissues on yontif. That's at the gomer. You're allowed to carry on yontif, even if it's not for food. It's tzorech hayom, so mitoch, shehudro, tzorech, it's het the gomer to carry the tissues. I walk in Rishis Ram in Torah, het the gomer to carry the tissues. I make a cheshbon. How many times am I going to blow my nose over the next hour walk? So maximum, the worst, the height of the allergy seasons, 30 times. More than that, I'm not going to bother taking a walk. 30 times I'm going to blow my nose. How many tissues can I take? So Reb Moshe writes, you take more than 30 tissues. You can take 100 tissues. It's in the same bag. It's in the same pack. It's in the same Reb Shurin. What's the difference whether you have extra soup in the pot or whether you have extra tissues in the pack of tissues? It's all the same thing. Reb Shurin is mutter. But what would that halacha be as follows? What if I want to invoke Reb Shurin in the following scenario? We'll have to talk a little bit more about the details of this case tomorrow. But let's start out with the following shaila. I want to carry my keys on Yom Tov, the key to get into my house, assuming that's mutter. I didn't say it's mutter, but for now I'm going to assume it's mutter. Hopefully tomorrow we're going to take a step back to figure out whether it was really mutter in the first place. Assuming right now it's mutter for me to carry the key to get into my house on Yom Tov. I have other keys on my key ring. I have my office key on my office. I'm not going to my office today. I want to know, can I carry my house key knowing full well there's an office key and I have absolutely no need for the office key? Can we invoke Reb Shurin or not? Can we say, well, since it's mutter to carry the house key, so it's mutter to carry the office key also. Is that like the case of the extra tissues that Reb Moshe was mafter? Or maybe there's a big difference between the two. So l'chora, that case of carrying the extra unnecessary keys, not just unnecessary keys, but keys that can't be used to open up the house, should be the litmus test between the two tzadim of the chakira. If you hold that Reb Shurin is based maisa-oriented, so I'm doing a maisa that's mutter on yontif. It is permissible to carry a house key on yontif. I am involved in an act of carrying that's mutter. Once I'm involved in an act of carrying that's mutter, anything that's part of that same act of carrying gets schlepped along also. That's what the Ran says. If the maisa is mutter, then everything that goes along is also mutter. But if you revamp my Reb Shurin is saying, the reason why it's mutter is because I could decide to eat that bowl of soup or that bowl of soup or yet a bowl of soup. I could decide to blow my nose with that tissue, with that tissue, with that tissue. Here, I cannot decide to open up my house with my office key. It's not going to open the door. So the office key is not just unnecessary. The office key is not workable. It's not usable. It's not functional. It's not going to accomplish what I want to accomplish. So one could argue, wait a second, that's a red flag on Reb Shurin. Who said Reb Shurin works under those circumstances? I'll mention tomorrow. We have to go back to this illustration a little bit and then eventually come back to understand what exactly is going on between the Rad and the Rashba.